Rabbi Y.Y. Rubenstein.
Change it.
Interestingly, I don't think in all the times I've ever said the shir here that I've come without my notes. This is the first time I've come without notes. So this might be an interesting shir. Can't hear. Can't hear. Can you hear now?
Okay.
Yes? Hello?
Yes, you are.
Hello. Yeah, that's a bit better. Can you hear me now? Gewaldig. Okay. This is the first time in all the years I've been zeichet to say the shir that I actually have come, mamash chidush, without my notes. So the shir might be slightly different to the one that I'd actually planned a long time ago. So how this comes out, we'll see. Interesting. Oh. In the place I live in America, I live in a place called the Five Towns, which is quite just next to JFK, very useful when you're flying around the world. And I am the old man of the show. I am the Zokain of the show. Just thought I'd tell you that. And it's very interesting because the young men in the show, they often come to me to ask, because he's got the grey hair, advice, etc. And a couple of times recently, the two of them have given droshes, and I sat there, and of course the trick of getting a little bit older is to learn not to open your mouth. But one of them said something which was echoed by a second shir. He talked about, it's just been Rosh Hashanah, and one of them said, and we know that we're going to go through the year, and we're going to make mistakes, we're going to do avirahs, etc. It's inevitable, etc. I wasn't so happy with hearing that. I'm not saying that it's not true, but I wasn't so happy with the way he was saying it. It's not so obvious that necessarily, after all, we've just finished Rosh Hashanah. We've just dealt with our account in Shemayim with Hashem Yisborach. Why do you want to, as it were, blot your copybook straight away by almost saying it's inevitable that you're going to make mistakes? Maybe not. Maybe not. In particular, if there's a couple of things you've taken on, because it was just a blink of the eye, and it was Rosh Hashanah, was it not? Maybe you've taken on, as I have, a couple of things that I wanted to work on, that I said to Hashem Yisborach, I will work on. And I don't want to give myself an iron horror, but certainly I can. Not bad. I have to tell you, I've not slipped up. It's also inevitable that you will slip up. And yet you say, oh, it's good. Wasn't so sure. And last Friday night, I was sitting with the Rob of the show, was a very, very fine person, and his uncle, he had an uncle there, or a cousin, not exactly sure who it was, a Rob from Yerushalayim. I didn't know who the Rob was, which was a pity, because I would have talked less and listened more, but he's one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah, of Rav Scheinberg, Zechatzad Livrocha's Yeshiva. He's got a Rav Altuski, or Modcha Altuski, and I was extremely impressed with everything he had to say. And I would have kept quiet completely and absorbed everything from him rather than put on my tuppence worth. But Rabbi Tusky said an interesting maysa, which I thought is certainly applied to the idea of maybe not condemning yourself too much. And there was a maysa, he said, it just happened a couple of weeks ago in Yerushalayim. There was a young couple who got married. And when the young couple got married, it was they had a discussion, and the kallah said to her chosen that she wanted to take on the chumrah of lighting candles 10 minutes early. 10 minutes early. Which is a nice thing to do. Why not? So it was their first Friday night, or Friday, together. And so she wanted 10 minutes. He came, in actual fact, she lit the candles 8 minutes before Shabbos. Not 10 minutes. And when she came to light her candles, she found that they were already lit. Oh yes, I bet. Yeah, the chosen, the young husband, had already lit the candles, so she was extraordinarily upset by this. But she painted a smile on her face, and she somehow got through Shabbos without saying, "How could you ganven How could you steal away my mitzvah? How can you gamble about my mitzvah? But after Avdolah, it was all just too much. And she said to him, how could you steal my mitzvah? I mean, a young bride, her first time lighting her candles, and you lit them off 2 minutes late. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't light your candles. And she said, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Have you ever had this conversation with your wife? Yes, I did. No, I didn't. So what happened was like this. He, Taka, knew that she wanted to light the candles a little bit early. He came down. People have the minhag. Some people say these days you don't need to because of the nature of the candles, but it's the case that the husband lights the candles first and then blows them out, so they're singed a little bit, so that they light perfectly, so there's no delay in the lighting of it. So he lit the candles, ready to blow them out, and the front doorbell rang. So he went to see who was at the door. And when he came back, after he'd finished speaking a few minutes later, there was his wife, who'd come in, saw the candles lit, and just made her brochas like she normally would, or her bakoshas. He saw her standing at her candles, assumed that she had put them out and then lit them again. Very interesting. But when you look at such a miser, if you were there, if you were the chosen, or you were the kala, it's astonishing how quickly we fall into forgetting about the mitzvah of Don Lekapskos. And that, when he was telling the story, Taka, normally when somebody tells you a story like that, a Don Lekapskos story, you can normally, it's like working out the punchline of a joke, you can normally work out how it's going to turn out that really there was no way out of this except to assume Don Lekapskos. But I couldn't think of a good happy ending to this one. But there was one. It's just that he had lit them and somebody came to the front door. And he came in and he saw her and he thought, I was very impressed with that. I wouldn't have thought that. And I would have failed in the midst of Don Lekavskos. Well, the midst of Don Lekavskos is very, very appropriate to her. I want to go into a little bit more depth. It's very appropriate to our center. Let's just think about it for a second. We all know this is in Pirkei Avos, and it says in the first Perek in Mishnevov, Yeshua ben Prachya ben Natai Arbeli, Kibla Mihem, Yeshua ben Prachya Omer Asa Lecho Rav, get for yourself a rabbi, Kenei Lecho Chover, and get yourself a Chover, Behevi Don Es Kol Odom Chaskos. Interesting the word Behevi. In your constant state, always, Tomid, should always be Don Lechaskos, should always be Don Sunday Lechaskos. So what does that mean? And we'll all remind ourselves what the Rambam says on this. Everybody knows this. Have you done? It's called Adam Chaskus. In Yonaka Shalhaya Adam Shaloi Teda Boy Im Tzadik Ho Im Rosha. So, if you come across somebody and you don't know this fellow at all, and you don't know Tzadik, or you don't know he's a Rosha, there's no indications either way. But see if she asks him, Maisa, O Yoma Dova Sheim Yitafrisho Al Derech Achaz Yitoy. So you see him doing something or saying something, which is ambiguous. You can assume, you can spin it to be mezogen in the Heidde Gesprach. You can spin it in a way that it's toiv, he did a good thing. Or alternatively, the other way, be'im tafrisha al derech akeres yira, and if you spin it the other way, then he did something bad. Then kach oiz ala toiv, but lo tashu boi l'ra. So what you should do is assume, that's the Mitzvah Don Lekavskos. You don't know the fellow, then you should spin it l'tzad toiv. So I would kind of imagine that the Kala knew the husband a little bit. I mean, it wasn't just the first Shabbos together, but certainly she should have been Don Lekavskos. Aval im ye ha'odam noidishu yitzadik leforsim. The Loshin's interesting. This is the Rambam, so every word is gold. So if you know about a person who's a tzaddik, meforsim, bepolas types, and everybody knows that he always does wonderful things, benir lo pol shekol inyon of moirim shu poil ra. And you see the tzaddik doing something, and it is overwhelmingly obvious that he's done something bad. I mean, it's not 50-50, but it's overwhelming. And you're not, in all good faith, able to say that it's so obvious. I see, he does something really bad. And you'd have to say something really, I mean, to come out with this is, I mean, you all know the Gemara is on the subject. I mean, really, Godel applies. And I remember here, many years ago, when I was first living in Manchester, Zaykut, I live here, there was a story about a certain lady in Stott from a Frum family, and her behavior started to become extraordinarily inappropriate. And the shaitel came off, and she was seen eating in a treif restaurant in town, and this was from unsere Gehirne here. And everybody was really shocked, and the people on the show were good people, so they were just heartbroken that she could behave like this. But I don't think anybody thought of brain tumour. Which is, it turned out, what the lady had, and that was what was affecting her behaviour. So the Shas Dochel is actually, well, it's somebody who's a good person. Mentaki, you go to that extra mile, it's not 50-50, it's 99% that they ate treif and you saw them doing this or whatever, but it's a tzaddik, then you've got to assume that somehow or other it was for the good. You've got to go to the nth degree when it comes to such a person. So there's a Gemara. And this Gemara, I can't remember where I came across this recently. I was teaching this to my Talmidim in Shor Yoshev. And it's an extraordinarily difficult Gemara. I find it very, very difficult even to read the Gemara. This is in Tainus and Daf Kof Aleph. And the Gemara starts with this. Tana Rabbonin. Well, oilam yehe odom rach kekona v'al yehe kasha ka'oris. You should always be soft or supple, like a reed, and you should never be a hard like a cedar tree. So Rabbi Shimon ben Migdal Gidar. So Elazar ben Shimon came from Migdal Gidar once upon a time, a base rabbi from his Rebbe's house. When's his Rebbe? And he was riding along on a donkey. Umatl al Svasanar, and he must have stopped, he gets off the donkey, and he's walking along the riverbank. And he was so, imagine any of us, you go and spend time with your Rav, it's a huge chizuk. See, sometimes you have a wonderful experience, you play over in your mind, you sort of like rewind the video sort of thing. And so he's going over in his mind, the Simcha Gedoyla, he's just been with his Rav, Simcha Gedoyla, but it's a data gasa olof. Interesting loshen, and his mind was gassy. Well, normally means thick. I would translate that as preoccupied. He's preoccupied. He's completely sucked into replaying the gewaldige geschmack of being with his rov. I'm sure everybody here has had that experience, Daka. And why? And it makes it quite clear. Because he learned Torah Harbe. He learned new things. He's very excited about this. And he bumps in, he comes upon a fellow who's extraordinarily ugly. That's a well-known story, this. Amalo Shalom Alecha Rebbe. So the ugly fellow, I'm going to call him Chaim. I don't want to call him the ugly fellow. So Chaim says to Rebbe Elazar, he says, Shalom Alechem Rebbe, to which he turns around and Velo Techser Loi, and he doesn't reply at all. It's already strange. So here we've got a huge Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar sees this fellow, and he says, Shalom Aleichem. Nothing, not a word. Okay. V'lo hafzalei, amalei reka. So he says to him, reka. Now the Marsha says reka, Zendrasan, he says reka means that he was a shvatzer. That he was a kushi. And they thought he was a goy. They thought he was a non-Jew. I'm not sure, I haven't been able to check out what's the diuk there. Why you turn the word reka, which means empty, into that he would be some non-Jewish guy from Africa, and we assumed he was. Kama mechor aisa ha'ish. And it seems to me he's talking out loud here. He says to himself, what an incredibly ugly fellow. And then he says, Shema kol b'ni ircho mechorim kama ischa. Are all the people in Salford as ugly as you? I mean, not Salford, I get the idea. Omer loy in either? What a good question. I don't really know. Why don't you go and ask the person who made me if all the people in my town are as ugly as me? And say to them, oh, you made an ugly thing. Oh, how did you make such an ugly creation as that? And when Rebbe Elazar realized he'd done such a terrible thing, he said such a terrible thing and upset him, Yorad min ha-chamor, he gets down from the chamor. So maybe he's walking along up and down the river bank in the chamor, I'm not sure. And he prostrates himself in front of the fellow. I've embarrassed you. I'm so upset. Mocholi, please forgive me. And I'm not going to forgive you till you go to the person who made me and tell him what ugly thing you made. I'm not sure, but I've not looked at any of them before, but it sounds like a nice way of saying drop dead. You're only going to go and see, be able to talk to the person who made me when you're up to the days with him. I'm not sure. But certainly, whichever way you look at it, he's not in a forgiving mood, this fellow. So he schleps after the fellow, until he comes to the town where the fellow comes from, so then he could see if everybody's ugly, I suppose. And and when Rabbi Elazar comes, everybody realizes it's Rabbi Elazar, and they all rush out. And they all shout, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe, Rebbe, Murray, Murray. What do I say, Rebbe, Rebbe, and Murray, Murray? Why double expression? The Ben Ishkai says, you're Rebbe in Nigla and Nister, Murray in Nigla and Nister. To which Chaim, calling Chaim down, the ugly fellow, says, he says to him, who are you saying this to? Who are you saying Rebbe, Rebbe? He said, look behind you. Look who's there. It's that great rabbi, Rebbe Elazar. He said, ha! That one? There should be less rabbis like that in Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, you hear that a lot these days. Ha! That's a frumer! If that's what frumers are like, well, nothing to do with them. So he's terribly upset, obviously. This is Chil Hashem of enormous proportions. Shemaitel Archecha, Omer Lehem, Imzeh, Rebbe, Al Yerba, Yekamoysa, Yisrael. There should be no rabbis like that anymore. Omer Lehem, Imeh, Ma, and why? Omer Lehem, Kach Lechach, so this is what he did, this is what he did. Interesting, I didn't say that's what he said, but anyway, so this is what he did. Omer, and this is, Kach Asali, Omer Lehem, Afo Bikein, Mocholoi, Sha'odom, Godel, Bateru. Despite that fact, you should still be Michael, and he's an Om Godel Batara. And he says, okay, I'll be Michael you, I'll be Michael him for your sake, Harini Michael like Bilvachalo ye Rogola Asaska. On condition you don't do that too often. Come on, it's amazing. What do you mean too often? You should do it at all. Anyway, soft goes soft, to which he then made a drosha. You should, and this is the drosha, you should be soft like a reed and not harsh like a cedar. And because if you're soft like a reed, the reed is what will make a kolmus, what will make a pen out of this writes and Sefer Torah, mezuzahs and tefillin, says the Gemara, because it's soft and supple and it bends, willing to bend. If you're willing to bend, if you're willing to forgive somebody, then that's Torah, that's tefillin, and that's mezuzah. But if you're harsh and you're unbending, nobody writes a Sefer Torah from a cedar tree. That's the Maisa. So in reading this Maisa, and when I was reading it to my Bokhrim in Yeshiva, it is obviously more than peculiar, is it not? I mean, first of all, he sees this fellow and he says, ooh, what an ugly guy. I mean, this is, when we're talking about Rabbi Elazar here, I mean, if I take myself, who is a microbe, who is a garnish compared to him, I mean, even I know that you're not supposed to say about anything that Shem is more created that it's ugly. Even a pig. People go, ugh, they. You're not supposed to say, ichfei. Hashem is more upgraded. It's got place in the Bria. The Rosh created it. It's a pig. It's a chazan. That's where it is. If it's ugly, that's where it is. What Hashem wanted it to be. So you see a human being saying, ugly. And then he says to him, is everybody as ugly as you? Oh, and he's just been to his Rebbe. Right? He's just full of terror. Right? And that's the way you behave. It's incredibly astonishing, this. The whole thing just doesn't add up. But the halacha we just learned in the Rambam says that if you see a tzaddik, and a tzaddik does something which is 99% dreadful and awful, then you automatically have to assume there must be a different way of seeing it, a different way of understanding it. And as we saw from that interesting story about the Chosn and Kala just a few seconds ago, very often the mitzvah of Don Lechavskus, and I think we're all familiar with this, when you actually are Don Lechavskus, it is very often the case that the reward you get, I'm not talking about the reward in Shemaim, that's obvious. I'm talking the reward you get in Olam Hazeh, the reward you get at that moment by being Don Lechavskus is tremendously geschmack. Because you, when you say, it seems to me, and the Chofetz Chaim says this in Sefer Chabad Chaim, that you should go and say to somebody who's upset, you should tell them. You know how to hate somebody in your heart is when you keep it in your heart, there's no possibility of shalom. Because you've got enmity, but you keep it hidden. No, you've got to say to somebody, you've upset me. But I want to add to that, you've got to say, I think you upset me. It seems to me you upset me. Because then you're inviting the possibility of an alternative explanation. And how many times in your life, certainly in my life, there it seems to me that the person has done something really terrible, and you're making them, it's a Don Lechavskus. It's an easy thing to do. You go and say, it seems to me, I think. perhaps you. And that gives the parent, yourself, the ability to not have the bush. And he turns around and says, no, I didn't. Because there's three possibilities. You say to the person, you know, I think you did such and such a thing. And he says, yes, I did. And I'm so bitterly ashamed. I haven't known how to come and apologize. I've wanted to come and apologize. And have you ever been in that situation yourself? You did something bad and you were just so embarrassed. So imagine going to your Rosh Hashiva, Erev Rosh Hashanah. You know, you made fun of him. And you went, Rosh Hashiva, I want mechila. Of course, the really awful thing is when you ask somebody for mechila, Erev Rosh Hashanah, he says, what for? Anyway, so, you know, anyway, so he says, yes, I did it, and I'm so embarrassed. Okay, well, you can be Michael in that condition. And then, of course, you go and you say to somebody, it seems to me that you did something, and he says, yes, but the only thing is, I didn't do that. That's not what happened at all. And suddenly you hear a whole new narrative, a whole new explanation of the story, which you would never have envisaged, like that girl and her chosen, which you would never have understood, and because you said, it seems to me, you've already made yourself open to an alternative version. So it's okay. And the third is, of course, he said, yes, I did do it. And I really enjoyed doing it. And I can hardly wait to do it again. You don't have to be Michael that. That's not called seen as kingdom. If he really, that's a different story altogether. So what's the story here? If we're mechuyev, according to the Rambam, to go to the nth degree, what's talking going on in the story? So the wonderful Ben Yehuda, he says the story is completely different. And here in his parish, he says, "Nirvada de ein kabonis Rabbi Lozar al tzavor ayem al tzorosi." It's obvious that Rabbi Lozar was not, when he said that this fellow is ugly, it was not talking about his appearance, not at all. He's talking about his behavior, and he says it's very interesting. He says, in that place, in that town, the minhag was that if you have got a Talmud Chochem, you don't say Shalom Aleichem to him until he said Shalom Aleichem to you. Now this actually starts to make sense, because what Rabbi Loza said to him was, Reka, you empty fellow. What does it mean? Empty of derech eretz. As the Ben Ishkai says, you don't know how to behave, is what he was saying to him. That's not appropriate behavior. Now that's fair enough. It's fair enough to turn around to somebody and say, sorry, that's not what you do. Right? In those places, different societies have different behaviors. I told you once, in fact, I just saw an old friend of mine who lives in Zurich. Now we're from Manchester, and I remember when I first went to say Shirim in Switzerland. I mentioned this to you before. I'd always wanted to see Switzerland, and so there was a student weekend, it was a Kier weekend, and I was to speak at that. And then there was a Frum ladies gathering on the Sunday night from something called the Agudas Frauengruppen, and I was to say Shirim there. So after I said that I wanted to go and speak because I wanted to see Switzerland, because I heard they do mountains there. And I'm Scottish, I like mountains. So I wanted to see what these second-class Swiss mountains look like. And so Bikitzer, after I said yes, then a week later I got a phone call from somebody here in Manchester who was a cousin of the person who was inviting me, and they said, could you send a video or a tape of one of your shirim? And I thought, that's a bit oilam hofuch. You find out whether the guy can speak and he's any good before you issue the invitation, and he said yes, not after you issue the invitation. But I thought perhaps they want to see the cultural differences. So I sent two tapes. One was a videotape, and this was me talking to university students here in England. And for Shnitzach, when you're involved in Kirv Chokim, you're talking to not such a fry oilam, then it's very labor-dick, and you make lots of jokes and funny stories. And then I sent a cassette tape of me giving a serious year, because occasionally I can do that as well, and I sent them both. And a week later, I received a phone call, and I picked up the phone, and I said, hello, is this Rav Rubenstein? And I said, yes. Hello, Rav Rubenstein, this is Mark from Zurich. I said, hello, Mark. Hello, Rav Rubenstein. It's about the video you sent. I said, yes. They liked it very much. But when you come to Zurich, no humor, please. And you mustn't become friendly with the students. Because in German culture, a Herr Rabbiner is very aloof. There's a certain richuk between a congregant and the Rav. Somebody told me that Rabbi Shimon Schwab, who was the Rav of the Breuer's Kehillah in Washington Heights in New York, that as the Rav, he was very regal, and you know, it wasn't sort of like, you know, a normal American Rav. You know, the Rav's my buddy. No. The Rav's like a melech. But when he retired and apparently moved to Eretz Yisrael, when his congregants went to see him, totally different. That was a friend. Because now he wasn't the Rav of the shul, then he could be a chaver. But no, you mustn't become friendly with the students. Unt. Another unt. They weren't paying enough for three unts. And the dritte unt was, and no Yiddish. Because to a German ear, Yiddish is a little bit like, hello there, it's lovely to be here. So it sounds a little bit funny. Anyway, but Keith, sir, so, no, somehow or other I get through this, but it's a different culture. In a different culture, you have to fit into the norms, right? And so you have to, so here, in this place, it's inappropriate for you to say Shalom Aleichem to the Rebbe until the Rebbe says Shalom Aleichem to you. And this fellow comes along and says, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe. So he turns around and says, Reka. Reka means, don't you know, have you know me this at all? I'm the Rav. I've been the Herr Rabbina. You wait for me to say Shalom Aleichem to you. This changes us completely. Now it's a completely different story.
How should you know?
Sorry?
You don't ask, are you a Rav? Can I greet
you? You're not from Switzerland, are you?
No.
No, I was going to talk. Yeah, sorry. Wait, sorry, can I?
Also
yeah, no.
What's
the joke?
In this
Reichen. Yeah.
He said Shalom to us.
He
didn't know it was a Talmid Chacham.
Oh, how did you know? Oh, that's a good question. How did you know it was a Talmud Chacham? Well, come on.
You don't ask.
I think he Googled it. No, there's a Levush. There is a Levush that Talmid Chachamim wear. The Gemara talks about, and we all know this, there's a Levush, a certain Levush that Talmud Chacham wears. For example, your shoes have been knocked you out. Talmid Chachamim at the time of the Gemara wore brown shoes. Brown leather, not black. So there's a levush, you could see, I mean, you could see in a Heidegger belt, a frock coat, etc. I mean, you know, somebody said to me, why don't I wear a frock coat? Obviously, they don't know me. But a real Rav, a real Talmud Chacham, he wears a frock coat and the hat, a Homburg hat. There's a levush. He looked, interesting, okay, he seems, if you look to the story, they seem to know who he was anyway, because they come to the town, they come rushing out. This is Rebbe Loza. Rebbe, Mori, Mori, they know who he was, right? So therefore, Oy Bazoy, there seems to be a pagam here in. So what went on was simply that he's trying to point out to him, and then he thought to himself, is everybody, and he must have said this out loud. Is everybody, doesn't he ugly like that? Is everybody behaved so badly where he come from? Is he come from a place of Amaratsim? That they don't know what's Tutsach? That's what he's really saying here. This is a totally different story. But the problem is, as a Ben Ish Chai was, that the fellow, he used the word ugly, meaning midas, but the fellow was ugly. He was physically ugly. So sometimes, even though he didn't mean it, there was, and perhaps because he was so tzedreit, he was so taken up by the Torah and the excitement of seeing his Rebbe and the Torah he'd learned, he was not sensitive. There's certainly something wrong here. Rebbe Elazar certainly made a mistake here. That's the whole dilemma. Then he prostrates himself. He says he did something wrong, and he begs for forgiveness. He's done something wrong, but not be turned and said to somebody, "You're an ugly fellow." Imagine a Talmud Chacham say such a thing. Impossible to imagine. Impossible to imagine. Of course, running out of time enormously, and I don't have my notes, so we're in trouble here. Rabbi Avraham Grudzinski. Avraham Grudzinski, Sadek Kodshi Livrochon, in Sefer Torah of Rome. He talks, I'll read a little bit of this to you because it's very important to get into this. But Prokim Makadangim, he says, in the previous Prokim here, this is on page 310 in Torah of Rome. It says, we've talked about the Chodesh HaEmes Bekol HaNegeh LaOdem LaAtzmai, how rigorous you have to be when it comes to yourself and your own midas and your own behavior. It has to be emes when it comes to. The shahoya ma'asev diburo machshavosay hergoshosov me'adin ma'asov la'mosahu. It has to be 100% yashvus when it comes to yourself. Achshav nevara es mahus b'chayves ha'emes b'kol negiyah le'yatzel adam and chaveri. That's when it's talking about yourself. Rigorous, strictly yourself. Be honest with yourself. But when it comes to somebody else, that's not how you're supposed to behave. Zokter, that's not how the Rabban Hashem behaves with us. We are a mixture of Midas Adin with the Rabban Hashem and a mixture of Midas Chesed. That's how she would treat other people as well. Not always strictly, not too rigorously. That's be a mixture of both, running over the page. Listen to this. The Mitzvah of Don Lachaskus, he says, Ba'oifin zeh tzorek gama odom nesnagim chavira. You have to copy the behavior of Hashem Yisborach v'halachta bedrachov, midas adin an midas arachimim, loy hanhoga shehi shovel okol. Your interaction with other people, your behavior towards other people, is not shovel okol. The Rambam already said that. The Rambam was already saying that in Don Nicol Odin Lachaskus. If it's a Beinani, then Taka Don Lachaskus. If it's a Tzaddik, even if it's overwhelming that he's behaved badly, but he's a Tzaddik. And anyway, as Rabbeinu Yonah says there, even if Taki did do it wrong, you can assume that by the next night he's done Teshuvah. And of course, they've not come on yet to being a Rosha. But your behavior towards other people should not be Shovel Akol. Lo Han Hogel Shal Rikuk, Velo Han Hogel Shal Kirev. You shouldn't be always welcome everybody, big smiley face, and you always distance somebody, kalt and warm. No, it's a mixture of both. Ela masecha yikvurcha, masecha yikucha. His behavior, somebody's behavior should either mekarev, cause them to be mekarev to you, or merachik from you. Listen to the lotion here. Osar la'odam liyaz psaina. It's forbidden by the Torah. This is a posha to posha. You're not allowed to hate another Jew. Vagam ena rishoy liyaz oim l'kol. Nor are you allowed to go around like an idiot, loving everybody, doesn't matter, yeah, you know, what that horrible phrase they use today, unconditional love. What rubbish. Is it possible for a person to do something in which you should not love them? Oh yes, there are gemaras in this, there are halachas in this, there's basic ethics and midas in this, there are behaviors that people can do, child abusers, etc. I don't love them. The things you're supposed to hate. Relative to a person's behavior, that's how you interact with them. The myth of Don Lachaskus is not stupidity. It's not going around saying, oh no, I don't want to hear. Sometimes you have to hear. Oh, you were learning Hilchos Lashon Hara before. Sometimes you have to warn people. Just turning around and saying, you know, it's all the same. That's not Yiddishkeit. That's not Torah. What if it's Taka Rosha? And what if it's a Rosha? So the Rambam says you go to the nth degree to assume that somebody, if it's a tzaddik, that he's done something, either there's a good explanation or he'll have done tshuva. But what if the person's a Rosha? Then it's quite the opposite, quite the reverse. That if his behavior is wonderful and fantastic, assume he's a Rosha. That too is a chelik of his rishis. And even though at the target, if you just isolate what he's done now, he's given a big donation to the school, to the shul, to the whatever it is, and you think, oh, that's gevaldik. You should know, if he's got a chazaka as a Rosha, assume he's a Rosha. Assume that's rishis as well. Oh, but he gave all that nice money. Don't be a nar. Rabbi Avraham says that's not how we look at things. You've got to see the whole person. What's his kavana? What's he really up to? After all, what do you think of a teacher, as Rabbi Yerucham says? He's always done the chazakas. Your child in his class, he's always Don Lachaskus. Would you want a teacher like that? Or you want somebody who wants to know what the emes is? Does it appear good or is it good? We have to see exactly what's tutsach. Yeah, so in this week's Sedra, we have the Meister right at the beginning of the Sedra of Avram Avinu and Paro. I want to tell you, of course, and I've Taka told you this, I think, once before, that is the famous Meister of the Auschwitz parish on the interaction between Avram Avinu and Pari by Yira of Ba'oretz, and he goes down to live in Mitzrayim. By he kasher he kriv l'boy Mitzrayim aviyama el sora ishtoi hine no yidati ishi pas mare ot, that you, I know you're a very beautiful lady. And then when they see me, they're going to take you. You'll be gone from the beck. Imino achleisi at, say you're my sister. Laman hetiv lib avarech, and not the good to me for you. And they'll keep me alive because of you. So when they came to Taket Avram, Avram and Sarah comes to Mitzrayim, and of course everybody knows that she's kidnapped. Let's see what happens next. The pasuk says, "Meyinaga Hashem is Pari Nagoyim Gadoyim," and Hashem gives terrible Nagoyim to Pari, but Es Besai and all the people in the house as well. Al Dvar Sarai, because of the Meiser Sarai, Eishus Avram. By Yikro Paro la Avram. So the next morning, Paro calls to Avram. B'yom amazai sa Sicily. What have you done to me? Lama Allah he gadat alihi ishakhi. Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Lama marti achleisi. Why did you say she was your sister? Be'echach oisalei la isha wa'ata hina ishakha kachbalek. Now I know that she's a wife. Take her and go. So they also ask a number of questions here. I'll do it very, very quickly. So the Yinaga Hashem es parat negoim gedolim ve es besoy. Why did he give it to the people in the palace as well? And what does it mean? Al devar sorai eshes avram. Oh, that's where we learn that sorai is eshes avram. Don't we know that already? Has to tell us that here. And the next morning, when Paro, after the wedding night, that was not a wedding night because he's covered in boils and all sorts of stuff, what does he do? Who does he call first thing in the morning? Avram. I call the doctor. Why does he call Avram? So the Asher says it's interesting. That the kunz was to stop Sarai being stolen away. Now that she's stolen away, when she's taken into the palace, what do you think she told Paro? I'm a married woman. What do you think he said? A minute ago you said you were brother and sister, now it's husband and wife. Well, as you're the most stunning woman in history, and I would like you to be my wife, let's just go with the first version, your original version, and ignore the second. The people in the palace hear this, they should have protested the king's behavior. Because remember, it's only with Yosef HaTzadik that Paro becomes the supreme ruler of Mitzrayim. Before then he was a first amongst equals. And therefore they should have protested. And therefore, but Yikro, and he says, Master, what have you done to me? Lama loy gadat alikish. Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? How could you do this to me? Lama mati, why didn't you say she was your sister? But the pasuk says what happened. The pasuk says that gives a horrible negoim al Paro and beso al devar sorai. The words of sorai. What did she say? Eishes Avram. She said, "I'm Eishes Avram." But on the outside, I want to look so kosher. I'm a Rosha doing a miser of time. And didn't know this. You didn't know this. And of course, Taka, the exact same thing happens later on. It's better. Because when Abimelech steals Sarah away, he is a genius. Much better than Paro. He tries to fool Hashem. And he lives in Gror. And he says, well, sorry, his wife, she's my sister. Gror gets taken away. You're going to get murdered. You're going to get killed for the woman you've taken. She's a married woman. And he doesn't go anywhere near her. Will you kill a righteous people? Didn't he say to me? And she also said, Ochihu. The Alshak is brewing here. The difference between what he says is that he is trying to fool Hashem. Indeed, Avram said, she's my sister. But what he says to Hashem is, he said that she was his sister. And she also said that they were brother and sister. But the Pasuk points out, didn't say it to me. She didn't say it to me. What do you think she said to Abimelech when he takes her? I'm a married woman. So listen to what he says. Hello, Omerli Achaisi. He said to me, Achaisi, she's my sister. And he did. Vehigamhi Omra. And she also said, but he didn't say the word Li. Because he didn't say it to her. She didn't say that to him. To him she said that I am a married woman. And that's how the shtickle ends. That Avram davens for all the nasty things to be taken away from Abimelech. Ki Otzar Hashem is Otzar Hashem Baad Kol Rechem Levitz Abimelech Al Devar Sora Eishes Avram. She said it. Al Devar Sora. She said she was Eishes Avram. But why is it that Avram does this? And that's the question Abimelech says. How could it possibly be that you would do this to me? And in Posit Yud, and Yud Aleph, Avram gives the answer. In Posit Yud, he says, "V'yam Abimelech el Avram ma'aro isi ki osisim es adaber azeh. V'yam Avram ki omati rak in yiras alakim b'mokam azeh. Barguni al dvar ishni." It's funny, the word for Philistine, and Abimelech was a Philistine. The word for Pilishtim in English is Philistine, and Philistine means somebody who's uncultured. You call somebody a Philistine, you know nothing about culture and etc. etc. All but the emes is that the Philistines were extremely cultured. And that's what he said, a God tzaddik, we behave so nicely. That's the outside. But what's the inside? You're a Rosha, and it doesn't matter what you do that looks good, what your money that you give that seems to be tzedakah. What's the real person? So the mitzvah of Don Lechavshkos is when you're talking about a Beinini, then Fashtetzach, you've got to be Don Lechavshkos. If it's a tzaddik, even if it's overwhelming, it's done something wrong, we can work that one out. It's either tshuva or we've made a mistake. But if it's a rosha, like a para in this week's seder, or Abimelech in next week's seder, and we know it, there is no mitzvah to be done like Haskus, that's narish, as Rabbi Brom says. You should never extend the mitzvah of don like Haskus beyond its rightful boundaries, and that's for a tzaddik or a benini. But for a rosha, until he does tshuva, we know it's tshuva, don chafayv. That's right. Thank you. How are you doing? How are you doing? So just reset.